morning, everybody. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I went ahead and let Joshua know beforehand that I was going to be in this chapter, and that way he wouldn't be upset or anything that I was trying to steal his thunder or jump ahead of him. Because he's going through the book, so we're not going to do like a verse-by-verse in-depth study on it. We're just going to look at a few verses this morning. Was trying to prepare this message, and the way that I work is I have so many different thoughts run through my mind, and then I have to work out the thoughts, and I have to figure out what direction I'm going to go, and usually it ends up, I end up going to a different direction than when I started. So hopefully this is going to come together this morning. So what are the brethren, the assemblies, known for? And when we think about that question, a lot of times first thing that comes up is the breaking of bread. That's what we're known for. The next thing might be dispensationalism. It might be Bible teaching. It might be that we don't have any elder. I mean, we don't have any pastor, clergy type people. It might be that our ladies wear a head covering. These are the distinctives of the assemblies that have been a part of who we are for ever since the inception of the assemblies. The assemblies would never want to say that they are a denomination. They did not set out to do that. That was not the desire of the original people. They pulled out from denomination so that they could just meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They just wanted simple Christianity. So as I was looking at this and I was thinking about the brethren and I was thinking about where we are in the 21st century, what direction we want to go, I thought about the elders' questions and when the men met and these questions were asked and we gave our feedback and what do I want to do as a believer, where do I want to go? And a lot of things were just going through my mind about what the original brethren set out to do. And I just wanted to get back to that, to simple Christianity, not all the fluff, not all that, the programs and the presentations that so many denominations and so many churches offer. I just wanted to get back to the simplicity of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what happened was I started looking at what they stood for, why they pulled out from denominations. How many of you know John Darby? This is just my opening statement. We'll get into the scriptures in a little bit. How many of you know who John Darby was? A lot of people would say that he was the founder of the assemblies, even though if he were here today, he would say absolutely not. He was not that person. The Lord was instrumental or using him in a mighty way to get us to where we are today. And I think for me, I want to get back to what John Darby wanted, what he was looking for. Again, just simple Christianity focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And hopefully that's what y'all want as well, is just to be in awe of who Jesus Christ is and be fixated on him so that as we go through the struggles of this life, we're always going back to the Lord Jesus Christ. The songs that we opened up with this morning before I came up here are focused on a future event when we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. I want us this morning to not look to a future event, but to look to the here and now of who we are in Christ Jesus and where we're at in Christ Jesus. That is the foundation of what the assemblies taught back in the day. That is what the original brethren honed in on and focused on. But when we think about the assemblies and we think about the brethren, that's not one of the first things that comes to our mind. Most of the time it's going to be the breaking of bread, the head covering, plurality of elders, and so forth. So we are big on the New Testament distinctives and practice. We are weak on what the original brethren taught back then. And we're going to quote some of them as we go through this study this morning. But I just want us to get back to the heart of what it is to be a believer. So as it relates to dispensationalism, what do we most often think about? We think about Israel and the church. Dispensationalism is why we see a distinction between the church and between Israel. It's always been in the scriptures. But if we look through church history, we see how it got lost and it got muddied down with all the things that were going on, especially with Roman Catholicism. What happened was, throughout church history, there has been a desire of our enemy to deceive the people of Christ. And he's done that quite well. But over history, the Lord has brought men and women out who have stayed back and gotten back to the Scriptures. One of those would be Martin Luther. We think about Martin Luther, and what's one of the first things we think of when we think about Martin Luther? Saved by grace through faith. The solas of Scripture. We think about his thesis that he nailed on the door. We think about how he stood for justification by faith alone. But yet, when we think about John Darby and those early brethren, what do we think about? We think about dispensationalism a lot of times, but we can see John Darby and these men and women that were with him as those who were also nailing something to the door. So they went from justification to sanctification in the Lord Jesus Christ. They went from justification to assurance of who we are here and now in Christ Jesus. So they moved forward, always in the Scriptures, but they built or gave us a system so that we could understand more of what's taking place around us today. So dispensationalism, a lot of times we think about Israel and the church. We think about rapture, the future event that we're looking forward to. It's not prophesied in Scripture, but it's told that it's going to take place. There's no signs that we have to look for that this is when it's going to happen and this is when it's going to happen. There's no date that needs to be set. All we have to do is be waiting and anticipating that the Lord is going to rapture us and take us out of here. That's the only thing we have to do. There's no signs and wonders that we have to wait for. We think about dispensationalism when we look at the end times prophecies and the fulfillment. We think about the tribulation period. We think about the second coming of Christ. We think about the millennial kingdom. We think about the eternal state when God makes all things, heaven and earth, and all things new. But I want us to look at something else as well. John Darby, a man used of God to systematize Scripture into what we know as dispensationalism, he defined it as this. God has one purpose all throughout the Scriptures, all throughout creation, to glorify himself in Christ in two spheres, the heavenly and the earthly. We live in the earthly, but yet, if we look at what the Scriptures say, we are heavenly beings. We have been created for eternity in Christ Jesus. The church is a heavenly people born from the ascended Christ, direct revelation to Paul, not an earthly kingdom extension of Israel. Any blurring of Israel in the church or any borrowing of Israel's covenants, promises, or kingdom principles for the present age robs believers of their true position, identity, and spiritual blessings in the glorified Lord Jesus. So just a little bit of a history lesson. The church's birth is told that it was established at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. But think about this. Her source, her position, and her destiny are heavenly. So let's go into Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read the first 10 verses, but we're going to focus in on verse 6. So verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of the grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Let's pray. Our Father, we are just so thankful this morning that we have your word that is true, that is accurate, that causes our hearts to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this morning that as we open up your word, as we look at these Scriptures, as we look at our position in Christ, that it might be an encouragement to us to move forward in this time that we have left on this earth to represent you well, as we look from the heavenlies and we look down and we see the source that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be effective witnesses and testimonies on this earth until you call us home. In Christ's name, amen. So as we continue to look at this morning, I was thinking about some of the aspects or the characteristics of my own life as a believer, and I'm just going to lump all of us together, but it's mainly a description of me. Many sincere believers today feel spiritually stuck, struggling with flaw, performance, defeat, or confusion about our identity. So the question is, why? We are living on the horizontal, earthly kingdom plane instead of Paul's vertical, heavenly plane. Just like the songs that we just sang, and there's nothing wrong with those songs at all. The only thing that it is it's looking toward a future event, and that's great for us. We look for the rapture to take place. We look for when we're going to be in eternity. But Paul talks a lot about our present tense, what we have right here and right now. And a lot of times, because of what's going on, the situations, the circumstances, even the struggles in our own minds, we lose focus of what we already have in Christ Jesus. At least I do. So that's what I want us to do this morning, is to get back to what we have present tense in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we think about our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the characteristics of that is it is settled, it's subjective, and it's unchanging. Again, Ephesians 2, verse 6, I'm going to read it from the Amplified. And he raised us up together with Christ when we believed and seated us with him in the heavenly places because we are in Christ Jesus. Notice what it says, and it says it the same in the New American Standard. The Amplified just unfolds it a little bit more. Past tense, when we believed, seated us with him in the heavenly places. That is a past tense event because we are in Christ Jesus. When is a believer ever not in Christ Jesus? We're always in Christ Jesus. He's always in us. It is unchanging. So our position in Christ, it is settled, it's objective, it is unchanging. Position is what grace has made us in Christ. Condition is what experience is working out in us on earth. As true as positional truth is, we so often focus on it from our earthly viewpoint. Throughout his epistles, Paul points to the believers to the heavenly. What I like so much about our local assembly is that we took the initiative on Wednesday nights to go through the New Testament letters so that we were to encourage each other in the faith, knowing what the church is and what the church has in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would encourage all of us to continue in that trend in our daily reading as well, is saturate our hearts and our minds with the New Testament letters so that we know who we are in Christ and what we have received in him. As great as the Old Testament is, and I love Genesis, and it talks about creation and it talks about the animals, and those are two things I'm passionate about, that does not give me the joy and the sustaining nutrition as the letters written specifically to the local church. So I want to encourage us to read the letters more than we read any other portion of Scripture, because that's going to cause our hearts to rejoice. One of the brethren of old, J.B. Stoney, he said it like this: if I am not clear as to my standing, I shall be occupied with myself instead of what Christ is. Confusion about our position leads us into self-occupation rather than Christ-occupation. It causes us, if we are not settled in our position in the Lord Jesus Christ, it causes us to wonder why I'm not living the Christian life like I'm supposed to. Because we are dictating how our Christian life is based upon what we are doing experientially on this earth. When we live experientially based upon what we can do, we fail every single time. We never live up to God's expectations. That's the whole message of what grace is. You can't do it. I did it. Christ did it for us. So condition explained is the exact opposite of position. It's unsettled, it's subjective, it's ever-changing. You can't fix your life on our condition. If I try and live the Christian life based upon what I see in the mirror and what I'm experiencing every single day, I'm going to continue to struggle and I'm going to continue to flounder, because it's got to be who I am in Christ and I live from that. Condition fluctuates. Position does not. Growth takes place in condition, not in position. And what that means is that my position has to be settled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that point, that viewpoint, that's how I live my Christian life. But it has to go back to who I am in Christ Jesus. So often we allow change in conditions, success or failure, doesn't matter, to affect confidence or discouragement in the Christian life. If I feel like I'm doing well in Christ, I'm obeying, I'm reading the scriptures, I'm praying like I should, I feel good as a believer. And that very next moment, I fail, a burst of anger, whatever it may be, I feel lousy as a Christian. The shame, the guilt, and so forth that comes in. Because of my condition, I'm always fluctuating. I'm always struggling. I have to always go back to who I am in Christ Jesus. That never changes. It never will. Our condition often being contrary to who our position, to our position, has led to many believers struggling with doubts about their salvation, with shame over continual failure to abstain from sin, with living the Christian life through self-effort. The Lord Jesus Christ never told us to live our lives for Him. He said to live our lives through Him. He is our power source. He is the one that causes us to obey and causes us to love God more. So let our position interpret our condition. It cannot be the other way around, because we will always be struggling. The moments that I struggled with my eternal security, whether I was saved or not, it was based upon what I was doing, my behavior, how I was living my Christian life. When I came to the Scriptures and I looked at the Scriptures and I applied the Scriptures, read the Scriptures, believed the Scriptures of what it talks about, who I am in Christ and what Christ has done for me, I have since never struggled with whether I'm saved or not. I know that I'm saved because I'm trusting in what the Lord has done for me and what the Scriptures say. I don't always act like it. I don't always line up with Scripture, but I can always go back to Scripture, and that Scripture is going to give me the assurance that I need because of my position in Christ. Let the facts of our position overwhelm the feelings of our condition. Faith allows settled truth to interpret shifting experience. In Ephesians 2:8 tells us that salvation is by grace through faith. Paul goes on in Colossians 2:6 to tell us that we live the Christian life the same way we received the Lord Jesus, by grace through faith. As it directly relates to our condition on this earth, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7 to walk by faith and not by sight. You can substitute another word for sight, and you can put by experience, or you can put by condition. We're not to live our Christian lives based upon sight, experience, or condition. We live it by faith in the Word of God, in the God of the Word. The Amplified Version summarizes it this way: living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. So it always goes back to what God has said. What would it look like in a current struggle to let our position in Christ speak louder than how we feel? Looking at it, experiencing it from our heavenly eternal position in Christ. So if I would take the moments just to look back at how I'm living my life and then to turn it to what my position is in Christ, would that make a difference? It absolutely would. Because then we would see that there's nothing good within me. It's all the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to turn to Him. We think about Jesus Christ and His heavenly position. We talked about this in the breaking of bread, about He's ever interceding for us. If He's interceding for us, then where is He? He's in heaven before God's throne. He's interceding for the believer. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 tells us where we are. So let's go back and let's read that and see where we are in Christ. We've been raised up with Him, and we've been seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's my position. Who in here feels like we're in heaven? I didn't see any hands up. That song, I don't know who sings it or anything, but I'm in heaven. No, you're not. We are in heaven, positionally. Do you understand that? I don't. Does it mean it is not true? No. Why? It's written in Scripture. So that means it's true. Whether I feel it, whether I see it, whether it's a condition that I live in right now, it means that this is what it is. So when I live my life as a Christian, I have to go back to the Scriptures. I am as much in heaven as I ever will be. It's just not what I think of as a reality. I can't see it. Doesn't matter if I can't see it or not. that's where I'm at. So that's how we're supposed to live our lives, is from that vantage point, from that viewpoint. We need for our Christianity to ascend to the heavens. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, so you shouldn't have to turn too far. For me, I don't even have to turn a page. We're going to look at verses 19 through 23. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So what Paul is saying there, and then he goes on in chapter 2 and explains it even more, is he's saying that Christ is in heaven. He's seated. He's in the heavenly places, far above all everything else that we see on this world. And he's saying that him being the head of the church, it's like we are there. We are seated with him in the heavenly places. And yet, we are the hands and feet of Christ, and we're living on this world, not from the perspective of what we're seeing today, but from the perspective of what he sees in heaven in his glory. We think about, we pray for God's glory to come down and be with us. We should really be praying for us to be fixated on the glory in heaven and allow that to saturate our lives on this earth. Again, it goes back to our perspective. What am I looking at, and how am I functioning? Darby said it like this: Christianity brings a man into heaven before it brings heaven into a man. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. It should be, I went up and that glory from heaven filled my soul and then I came back down. It's like we're walking on sunshine, as these songs might talk about. We should be experiencing the glory of God while we're here on this earth. But in our condition, if we're focused on how we're living the Christian life, I'm not going to experience that glory, because that's dependent upon me and my effort. Thus, knowing that we are associated with a glorified Christ in heaven reshape how we view daily life on this earth? The answer is it should be. We think about being seated with Christ. If you're seated, that means you're not struggling and striving. I would summarize my life as a believer as for many years, off and on, maybe not consistently, but a lot of times it would be struggling and striving. Anybody else there? Just me? Okay. If we realize that we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then that should turn our perspectives around. Because seated means it's done. The Christian life is not for me to live, it's for me to enjoy, because Christ Jesus is my life. Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. So seating speaks of finished work, settled acceptance, and rest before service. So a lot of times we'll say that we're saved to serve. We're actually saved to seat, to sit down, to be in the presence of God. And from that presence, that's how we serve. Have we sat down before the Lord enough, long enough, focused on him enough, so that when in our service, it's actually truly worship, and it's not struggling and striving, hoping that we can please God in some way? We believers tend to strive for what Scripture says is already settled. We feel it is our duty to live for Christ on this earth, and unfortunately, we so often revert to our flesh, our self, our strength, and our striving. As we're seated, we need to understand that we have security and identification. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. In verse 1, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So we think about what we've just read, and that gives us security and identification in Christ. Paul wants, our Lord wants, the indwelling Holy Spirit wants, our Heavenly Father wants our hearts, our minds, our souls fixated, focused on him, and us with him there now. It is a future event when we will get the culmination of all that we are in Christ, but it's for us now. And how often do I lack, or I don't fixate myself on the fact that it's now? It is a future event, but it's also a now position. J.B. Stoney goes on and says, if I know my place with Christ in heaven, I shall not be seeking a place for myself on earth. We think about dispensationalism and how it makes a distinction between Israel and the church. And then we look at what's coming into so many churches today, what they call Reformed theology, Kingdom Now theology, Covenant theology. All of these are replacing Israel with the church in some way. And then it's putting these blessings and these cursings that were only for Israel, and they're applying it to the church. And what they're doing is they're putting the church on the earthly realm. And yet Paul and Christ himself and the Holy Spirit tells us that we are a heavenly entity. We're not to build a kingdom here. We're not to establish a Christian nation here. We are to be fixated on our heavenly position in Christ Jesus, and from that viewpoint, go out and evangelize and disciple the masses. It's our position. It's how we see things. Heavenly identity frees us from earthly ambition. How does being hidden with Christ challenge the way we seek recognition, security, or significance? If we see ourselves as hidden with Christ in God, then there's no recognition that we need. We've already been recognized by God in Christ. What more do we need besides what Christ has already given us? What can we add to it by some kind of goals that we set on this earth? God has given us everything that we need. So we should be living the Christian life from heaven while walking on earth. We think about that and we struggle with those concepts. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul says previously in verse 19, their minds set on earthly things. And in verse 18, he says, enemies of the cross of Christ. Those of us who are believers and we fixate on the earthly realm, on our condition, we end up becoming, having our minds set on the earthly things, and we end up becoming enemies of the cross of Christ. The reason being is because we haven't settled what took place on that cross. We were crucified with Christ. It wasn't just what he did for us, it's what happened to us with him at that time. Paul talks about these things in his letters. So living from heaven while walking on earth. J.C. Metcalf says, we are called to walk on earth in the power of a life that belongs to heaven. Paul says again in Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, waiting in heaven for the Savior to return. Heaven is not merely our destination, it is the source of our life now. Jesus is our source of life and light. So often we are striving to live here on this earth in anticipation of heaven, when we should be living on this earth as if we are already in heaven. We're just waiting for it to come to be reality. What practical difference should heavenly citizenship make in how we respond to pressure, temptation, or uncertainty. So what practical difference should heavenly citizenship make in how we respond to pressure, temptation, or uncertainty? Man, that's... I don't know why I'm struggling with that. It should make a big difference. The reason being is because not I, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20 was quoted this morning during the breaking of bread. It's all about Christ in us, living through us. It's by His power that we're able to overcome the things in our lives. It's by Him that we have victory, and we don't have to worry about hell. We don't have to worry about Satan defeating us. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are with Him in the heavenly places. He has not only put us with Him, He has given us every spiritual blessing in those heavenly places. What does that mean? Nobody in this room can answer that. We get a glimpse of it from the Scriptures, but we don't know the fulfillment of it until we see Him face to face. But we have the truth of it. So as we close out this message this morning, I'd like to give us some core truths to reaffirm. Your position in Christ is settled. Condition is progressive. We're being changed into the same image, according to 2 Corinthians 3:18, from glory to glory. Glory is not on this earth unless we see the Lord Jesus Christ here. When we fixate on the heavenlies, we see the glory of God. So our position is settled. Allow our condition to progressively be changed more into that image, into that reality. Position must interpret condition, not the reverse. It's always faith instead of sight. It doesn't matter how I feel, it's what God's Word says. You catch me on the wrong day and you see some of the things that I am so thankful that there would never be a projector screen that ever shows what goes through my mind on a daily basis. Because y'all would probably be saying, excommunicate him. Get him out of here. He's not worthy to be in this church. But my position tells me that I have been made worthy in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter what I do, what I say, what I don't do, what I don't say. It's all about the position, not our condition. Our condition progressively should be changing over time. But that's going to come the more that we are fixated on God and His Word. We do not work toward position, we walk from it. And nothing to our position, add nothing to our position in Him. So there's nothing more that we can do to make ourselves to where God loves us more. A lot of times children will struggle, well, how can I make my dad, how can I make my mom love me more? And we'll seek to do things and to behave in certain ways so that we get the love from our parents that we're striving and we're longing for. And God tells us as our Heavenly Father, there's nothing you can do. Just accept it. Just understand who you are in Christ. We were in Adam, now we're in Christ. We go back to the co-aspects of who we are in Christ. We were co-crucified. Our old man was on the cross. He's still alive. We still have the old man, but he's been rendered inoperable. He does not have to rule our lives. We have been given a power source greater than him. We were dead, but now alive with Christ. Again, going back to these scriptures, we've been buried with Christ. We've been raised with Christ. And that resurrection is to newness of life in Christ Jesus. We were on the earth. Now we are seated in heaven. There's a thing that goes on in our lives where we get a little bit comfortable with what's offered on this earth. We should be uncomfortable, because when we think about the God of glory and the glory of God in the heavenly realms, it should make us very uncomfortable here because we don't have it here. We want to see it and we want to have it, but we're only going to have it when we see from that position of being in God in the heavenlies. We are seated, not striving. Done is the work that saves. We are secure in Christ Jesus. There is nothing more that we can add to it. Heaven governs earth when faith governs thinking. Where is my mind at? What am I fixated on? What am I thinking about? The mind that is fixated on the things of God is heavenly minded. If I fixate on this world and what's going on here, then my condition will try and overrule my position in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian life is not trying to become what we are not, but learning to live in the good of what God has already made us in Christ. It's not trying to fix me and trying to clean me up. It's about what God has already done for me. We think about what's being talked about this morning, our heavenly position, where are we at in Christ Jesus? Does it impact our lives as believers in knowing that we are no longer Adamic, no longer earthly, no longer bound by this world, sin, self, nor Satan? Does it change us? Does it motivate us in seeing who we are in Christ? It is my hope this morning that we have gained more of an understanding of our position in Him, our relationship with the risen Lord of glory. I am thankful for the early brethren who wrestled with these truths, who were used of God to bring these truths of Scripture into the conversations and the churches. They had whole conventions about not dispensationalism in general, but on our heavenly position specifically. They wrote articles, they wrote sermons, they wrote books. And this is what the assembly should be known by. This is what we as Christians connected to the assembly should be known by. What do we talk about? We talk about our identification in Christ and we talk about our position in Christ. That's what we should be known for. As much as I value the breaking of bread time, as much as I value the scriptures that we cling to for headship authority and plurality of elders, and the list goes on of these New Testament distinctives that we stand for, I would far rather for us to hold to the truths of the heavenly position that we have in Christ Jesus and make that known so that we celebrate and we worship and we glory as if we are already in heaven, which we are, but we would live out our lives on this earth like we are. Historically, again, this was the focus of the early brethren. When we see Christ where He is, we will see ourselves where we're at. We will be preoccupied with who He is and what He has done for us. We think about and we go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. We've been raised up with Him. And a lot of times I would fixate and I would stop right there. I've got new life in Christ and I'm going to live this Christian life for Him because of all that He's done for me. But Paul didn't stop there. He goes on and he says, seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Don't forget where you're at. Don't get comfortable here, but rejoice that we're there. We're already there. Let's live those lives as if we are there. That's our reality. We think about our imagination and where we can go in our imagination. I can think about things in my imagination, whether true or not, whether it was a past event that happened or something that I've been fixated on and I think I'd like for it to happen. And I can start sweating. And my heart can start racing. And my body will respond to what I am imagining or what I'm thinking about. And that's on an earthly realm. If we were to fixate on the Lord Jesus Christ and our heavenly position in Him, would our hearts race? Would we rejoice? Would we long for that reality to happen more than what we do now? A lot of times it's because we're not fixating on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're allowing our condition to control us, to dictate what we think about, to what we focus on. And the reality is that God wants us focused on Him and focused on our position in Him because that's where we're going to be for eternity. I'll open it up to the men for discussion. Hopefully this has been an encouragement, and I have certainly not said all that I wanted to say because I am not a speaker. But I know what I read. And I know what I understand, and I know that there's so much more than that. I'll be glad when I am face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, but until then, we can live in that glory even now. We think about the suffering of Christ and how He was fixated on what He was going to end up doing, how He was going to complete His work, how He was going to be bringing many sons to glory. And He's done that, and He continues to do that, and the gospel continues to go forth. We're part of that, and we see the hand of God. But do we see ourselves in heaven already now? I don't always do that. But going through this and studying this, this is what I want to do, is see myself where I am already. It is a future event. There will be the culmination. Maybe today we'll be called up in the rapture. But until then, the reality is that I am in heaven already. I am in Christ Jesus already. I will never be taken from Him. I will always, for eternity, be with Him. That is worth the rejoicing. That is worth the whatever we go through on this world, because it's only temporary here. We'll be with Him forever. So I just listed out a couple of reading material just to get us back to not just the New Testament principles, but back to the positions and the identifications that we have in Christ. I'm always going to recommend The Complete Green Letters by Miles Stanford. That is a book, if you haven't read it, you need to read it. I try and read it every year. It quotes a lot of the older brethren from back in the day. It quotes like Lewis Berry Schaefer, people who understood the heavenly position and our identification in Christ. So if you haven't read that book, read that book. A devotional that I would recommend is None But the Hungry Heart. You can read it free online, abideabove.com. That's the website. They change the devotion every single day. Again, just a great resource for us to have. Last question, and then we'll close in prayer. Would it impact our private prayer, praise, and worship? Would it impact our corporate prayer, praise, and worship if we were to be fixated on Him there, on our being with Him there now? I think it would. I believe it would. I hope it would. Let's find out. And let's find out together. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we are just amazed at who You are. The challenge of this message is to comprehend who we are in Christ Jesus. We talk about position, and a lot of times we stop at eternal security. I'm saved, I'm sealed, I'm secure. But we need to go even further than that. Yes, we have been raised with Christ. Yes, we have been given newness in Him. Yes, we do have eternal security. But the reality is that You haven't left us on this earth. Yes, we are here physically, but You've seated us in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus in God. And Father, we do not comprehend that completely at all. We consider the truths of Scripture and we try and apply it to our lives, but we need Your Spirit to do that for us. Help us to understand who we are in You. Help us to rejoice that no matter what we go through here, no matter what our condition, our position is settled in Christ. Father, I just pray that if there's any in this room that have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would come to the end of themselves, that they would see that salvation is something that we cannot earn. It is something that has already been offered to us freely because of the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be just overwhelmed with heaven. Help us to be overwhelmed with the glory of God, that it is so much so that when people look at us, they can see Christ in us. Father, we just love You and we praise You. We thank You that we're able to assemble today. Just help us to keep looking to You in Christ's name. Amen.